Hello and welcome back to Matt's Truck and Grape podcast. Matt Ireland hosting once again, and today I'm joined by my good friend Chris Bradford. Chris, how are you?
I'm not too bad, Matt. How are you?
Yeah, very good, mate. Very good. It's a lovely sunny day over here on the east coast of England.
Yeah, so, we're enjoying the same here in Northern Ireland. It's nice for a change.
Yeah, absolutely. I've just been out in the garden potting around, and I'll get back out there in a bit, I guess. Anyway, so that's enough of gardener's hour. So as I ask all guests, how did you get into truck driving, Chris? Was it a family connection or just something completely different?
Yeah, no, well, I suppose I'm the third generation of my family at it. My grandfather, my father, my uncles, and even my uncles, some of my uncles on my mother's side were truck drivers as well. We've just been brought up with it kind of all my life, yeah. You know, so been generational, really.
You're just surrounded by it. So I guess when you're at school, that's all you want to do. Had no interest in education sort of thing.
Pretty much, yeah. That was it. You just, you know, again, it was different times back then, and you got to go with your parents. Sorry, my father, myself, you know, but I'm sure there's been lady drivers, and you got to go with your parents and you got to enjoy the job. And I suppose in a roundabout way, you got institutionalized to it before you could realize that there was other things out there, you know. So I think that's why we're short of drivers now, because people see that there's so many other things to do.
You know? Yeah, there's a lot of other better options out there.
More opportunity than looking out through the windscreen. But yeah, I guess I got stuck in that way from the passenger seat, really.
Fair enough. So when you initially left school, what did you go to do then? Because obviously you couldn't just go and drive a truck straight away, could you?
Yeah, so, and you know, the biggest thing, and people ask me about getting into the industry, is like, know what you want to do. So I knew this is what I wanted to do. So I then, when I was still at school, I was going in the evenings and loading trucks with my father, and any opportunity at all to do any kind of steering and shunting and stuff. And then got my education, and truth be told, when I'd done my GCSEs back then in 96, Aer Lingus, the airline from Southern Ireland, were taking on doing like apprenticeships. And if you'd have got like A's and B's, I was actually going to go and try and be a pilot, you know, as an alternative. But I got 3 C's, 4 D's, and an E, and I just opened it up and went, truck driving for me then. So I went on to technical college, or tech as we call it, and served my time as an HGV fitter, because I knew ultimately at the end of the day I wanted to run my own, I wanted to maintain my own. Not only that, but you wanted to know that you weren't getting shafted by anyone else that was going to be, you're going to have to pay to do some work for you, so you'd have better understanding, bit more mechanical sympathy. And so I served my time as a fitter, and while I was serving my time, one of the teachers in the tech, he was actually the guy that took you for your national and international CPC. There was two classes back then. So when I was 16 17, I done my national, and because I was in secondary education, I got that for like, I think it was £80 for the whole course, including the exam entry.
Blimey.
You wouldn't do it now, and to be honest.
No, definitely not.
It was multiple choice back then. If I had to actually do it now, I think it would probably fail. But
I did mine a couple of years ago, and it's probably one of the hardest things I've ever done. It is just so involved. Anyone who passed the first time, I take my hat off to them, because it is so difficult, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, it's fine. And then every sort of couple of years, you have to go for your transport manager refresher course. And it's good to get kept up to date with things. But yeah, I've done the national, and then when I was 18, I done my international. And even at that one, I'd done it, it was only like £70 or £80. It was for nothing. Like, you wouldn't get it for that nowadays. But I knew I was going to need it, so I had it in the bank, if that makes sense, stored up.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
But yeah, done that, and then I ended up going and getting some experience. When I left being a mechanic, I went and done like furniture deliveries in North and Southern Ireland. Then moved on to the Arctic work, and again, that was more like supermarket and wholesale deliveries, North and Southern Ireland. And then done some tipper work, done flat trailer work, as the man says, a bit of roping and cheating. And I got a great education at Sloan Transport. You know, it was very kind of him. He took on a lot of young fellas from the area, and we got a great education there, you know. Then went on to do some fridge work and all that there. And again, I didn't just jump from job to job. I wasn't there 5 minutes. For me, that was going and learning the craft. You know, it's hard to it's hard to be. I had considered a driver who was an all-rounder better than one man who just done one thing. You know,
Yes.
personally, when I'm going to employ someone, so I went and I learned curtain siders, flats, fridge work, tipper work. You know, and it also helped me get a better understanding for the job and maybe a part of the job which I preferred. So for me, that's always been flats, machinery, step frame, and some curtain sider work, which is initially what we do today. So, you know, it was good to get that education and people to be willing to give you. You know, it's hard to get those starts in those places nowadays for to gain them skills.
Was there any of them that you really didn't like?
To be honest, it's not there's nothing I didn't like, but if I'm truthful, tipper work, I hated the thought of ever putting one over.
Yes.
You know, and again, a quick story, when I was tipping it, I was always very nervous because again, back then when I was doing this, I was only 23 and I didn't want to let myself down or the boss. And sometimes we were doing night boats out of Belfast docks up to Mullusca. It's only up the top of the hill out of Belfast. And you know, you're doing your work during the day and doing tipping stuff at night, and went to the pile, reversed back up, and I was very nervous about lifting the back door off or catching it. And I said to the guy on the forklift, or sorry, the telehandler, he was pushing it up, I says, "Watch me back." He says, "You're the driver. I'm the loader driver." And that's okay. Back, tipped it up. The next time I went up, I went, and it was about 15, 20 feet from the pile, and I just put her straight up. And your man says, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" I says, "I'm the lorry driver. You're the loader driver. Push it up, mate." And see, the next time I reversed back the pile, he hit the horn, beeped, and I says, "We better understand of who we both are now, mate." I says, "I'm just trying to do the job. So are you. Let's not fall out about it." So yeah, but.
Absolutely. And I've knocked one tailboard off of my time. I love bulk work, and it's just such a heart-sinking feeling. I was tipping compost, and it dug in. Obviously, I didn't realise I kept going and knocked it clean off. And yeah, when I walk around the back of the pile and you just see it laying on top of there, just
Yeah.
oh God, you know, just then you know you've got to make that phone call. And
Yeah, that's the thing.
I mean, luckily, the guy who I was doing the work for, he was obviously a bit annoyed, but then my mate there said, "Well, you done it the other week, didn't you?" To him, he's like, "Oh yeah, I suppose I did." So, you know, it's a hazard of the job. You know, we're not all perfect. We get it wrong, don't we, sometimes?
Yeah, that's if I'm honest, that's the only job I would say. I respect everyone for doing what they do, but I really respect the tipper man, because even my cousin and all done it, and he tipped in the same spot as his boss, and I never forget it. His boss tipped, he pulled forward, reversed in, tipped in the exact same spot on flat bit of ground, and the next thing is lorry just went clean over on her side. And the boss says, "If you'd have rung me and told me that happened," he says, "I would find it hard to believe you." And you know, I was always that's one thing that made me nervous, and
Yeah,
I was
absolutely.
like, "I'll leave the lads that enjoy that work to do that work. That's not for me. Thanks." You know.
That's fair enough. But yeah, it's interesting that you have sort of gone for more the flatbeds and stuff like that, because that's certainly a more challenging job, isn't it, to be honest?
Again, I guess it's like everything. People just find the part of life they're comfortable with, and for me in this industry, that's the parts I'm comfortable with. You know, over the years, again, being with my father and my uncles, my grandfather, that's what they done. So it was more what I was used to, even as a child. You know, they done containers and stuff like that as well, fridges, but it was more the machinery, small sides of machinery and flat work and steel, and that's what we done. So again, I was familiar with it. And like I say, we all have our ideas about CPCs and stuff, but I had a lot of learning before I ever had a license, if that makes sense. And those were
Yeah,
the
it does.
areas I had learning and experience in, even though I was only young. Standing watching someone, it's amazing how much you can actually pick up by being there. Again, I think that's a problem today. People don't get to be there.
No, that's it.
So we're losing that couple of years of learning before we even get a license, you know.
Yeah, that's it. Because that's how young people learn, isn't it? You watch and listen, and you soon pick it up, don't you?
Yeah, and again, back then things wasn't probably as strict now, and you're maybe tipping in a quarry or something like that, and oh, here, jump you in and throw a few gears at her there, and you can drive around the quarry, whereas now health and safety would have you all in jail, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So, when did you actually strike out on your own then, from being employed?
So 2005. So again, like I say, way back in the late 60s, 70s, early 80s, my grandfather and my uncles and all had lorries. And then it kind of didn't always work out. So they had all took employment and stuff. And I was determined that this was something I was going to do. And it was, I actually had my first lorry bought and paid for. Wee version 1FH, wee 380. It's been sitting in the shed. And while I was serving the time and stuff, I had mechanic done it. I'd fixed the brakes. I had serviced it. I'd changed turbos. I'd done all this stuff. So I knew. And physically, I couldn't afford the insurance. So
Right.
my birthday's in October. And right up until the day before my birthday, my cheapest quote was £11,000. And I turned 25, and the insurance, literally nothing had else had changed. I turned 25 the next day, and my insurance came down to £5,800. And I says, right, I'm ready to get going. So that was October. And we'd done a few other bits and bobs, and we just waited for the start of the financial year, which was April 25, or sorry, April 2005. And that's when I started. So,
Wow, so it's been 21 years then.
it's been a lot of uphills and downhills, but as a man says, I've spent a lot of whiskey under the bridge since then, you know.
So you started off obviously just with the one truck. How long did the version one stay with you?
So literally, the version one we started, like I say, April 2005. By September 2005, I had a little version one FM bought that my father drove. Come back, he come out of. He was in the office doing a lot of planning and organizing for a different company who I actually worked for. That was who had done the furniture for. And he come back on the road. You know, a lot of it was local stuff. It was traction only around just basically northern and southern Ireland. And then as we built it up, we had a lot of English work and we subbed the English work out. Then the company we were working for, it was TDG at the time. And they, I think, in they lost a few of the contracts in Northern Ireland. Southern Ireland was a slightly different department. And then was it Dettersangle? Norbert Dettersangle bought them out in England, possibly.
I can't remember what happened to them, to be honest.
Yeah, it kind of, when the work dried up, we ended up, we were doing a lot of work for them over here. And that was what the supermarket deliveries and wholesale deliveries were. And they lost a couple of contracts over here and they decided to close that depot. So again, doing the regular work for them during the day, we were doing other work at night time. And then we just built up the other work we had because, again, 2007, 2008, remember that sort of recession and a bit of a crash? That kind of put an end to them over here. And we just had to branch out doing other things. So the English work we had, we then had to go and do it. So it's actually a funny story. The very first driver we ever had was a chap called Ivor Lamont. And he come to us, brilliant guy, and he left us. He says, look, I just don't do overnights, and he never did. And for respect to him, we've been in contact all these years. And actually in January this year, my father took not well. And Ivor been in contact. Ivor says, Chris, I've always wanted to come back to you. Is there a job now? Can I do your father's job that he's kind of retired? And I was like, yep, come on back. So he's actually come back to us now after all
Oh,
them
brilliant.
years. So he's back doing what my father done. So he's a great guy, good mechanical hands on him, and it's a pleasure to have about the place. So we're really glad he's back. You know, it's good. I hope it says something about me that the guys that have left are happy to come back even after all that time. So.
Well, I think it does really, because otherwise, if you weren't very good to work for, they wouldn't want to come back, would they? Simple as
No.
that, isn't
But
it?
again, we respect the fact that everybody has to have the work-life balance that suits them. And, you know, again, at the time, and we've always been in contact, and as soon as there was a job ready for him, I would have had him back, but it just wasn't there, you know. But now it is, and he's back, so we're glad to have him back, you know.
Excellent. So you had the two trucks sort of by the end of the first year, and it just sort of.
So then we went to three. We had a flat top 420 12 speed. I thought I had some pup, an FH version one. So the three version ones by the end of year two. And we stayed like that for quite a long time. No desire to have any more. Back in my father's day, or sorry, my grandfather's day, he had, I think it was like five or six, you know, bad him than had. And at the time, the work then come, the English work built up, and we kept going. And it took for each truck in England, you nearly had to have one in Northern or Southern Ireland feeding it, tipping and loading while he tipped and load out there. So we ended up with six trucks. By the end of year six, we had six trucks of our own, four guys that was subbing to us full time, and about 19 trailers to keep the whole thing running. And we run like that. To be honest, we run like that right up till 2017, if I'm honest. Yeah. You know. So in 2017, it was, as anyone can tell you, in this job it can be very, very stressful, and it was. And we had a lot of, you know, realistically over the years we were very lucky to have very good drivers with us. Only a couple, and I wouldn't have said they're bad by any standards, but you could tell the difference between a good one and someone who wasn't pulling their weight.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, we were very blessed to have good drivers. And 2017, I had a bad, well, not a bad, a testicular cancer. And that sort of made me wake up to the fact of, what am I doing this for? And,
yeah,
you know, everybody wants to be the proud guy who knows everything and does everything. But to this day, like, I'm 46, I'll be 47 this year, I still speak to my mother for advice because she's the wisest woman I know. And my mom turned around and goes, here, what are you doing this for? And that was my wake-up call. It was just like, I don't enjoy this job. The stress of it, it's getting a bit much. I want to go back to doing the thing I love doing, which was the trucks, you know?
Yeah.
So we cut back to, we got rid of a lot of, like you say, deadwood customers. Again, we're all guilty of it from time to time, of working to be busy and we're not technically making money. Mm-hmm. So we cut out a lot of deadwood, and we just went back to the three trucks and a couple of subbies, and who friends of mine who have trucks, and they help them and they help me. And we just keep our own customers all happy. And that's kind of the way I've been running for the past, well, to now, really. You know,
yeah.
I've had no desire, again, with this lady there, Amy Leeson, has her own truck, and she subbies for us out in the UK. And she helps Gemma, and the two of them work out there. And me and Ivor work at home, and a couple of subbies over here help us do the north-south work when it gets busy, you know.
Mm-hmm. So how many trucks are you running at present then?
Technically still just the three, but we'll have the little version one, which was the second lorry I ever bought. I kept it. It's in the shed. The engine's rebuilt on it. We'd like to get the time and the money to do that up, just to have that to go to truck shows. And we'll have a wee Renault Magnum that I bought for my partner Crystal. She wanted one, so I found one at a good price. We'll have it. Again, I haven't touched it. I just bought it. I got it at the right money. It's sitting in the corner of the yard, but there's only really three working, you know.
Fair enough. So you touched on Gemma. Now, Gemma Warren is quite a well-known social media face, isn't she? How does she come? Did she approach you about a job, or did you ask her?
Funny story. We had known each other for a long time, and through another podcast down in Somerset there, we'd been friends. We'd ended up doing a few nights out and going out to dinners and stuff and charity events through that podcast. So we ended up, we sort of knew each other that way. And mm-hmm. I actually lived in Cannes or below Chippenham in Wiltshire. I lived out there for a couple of years because it was easier to service customers. Majority of our customers was Wiltshire, Devon and Cornwall.
Okay.
And it was easier to be out there. Plus, when we lived out there, even if I was away, I could still be home, technically passing the house and in the house two or three nights a week.
Yeah.
So it just made sense. So that's what we're doing. And then when I moved back to Northern Ireland, I'd actually just bumped into Gemma and Gordano Services, and we're just chatting away, and she was having a break and I was too. And I says, oh, here, you aren't thinking of a change. And she says, well, I might, but it would have to be the right job. And I says, well, there's what we'll have if you wanted to think about it. And there was no hassle. I knew it would work. The truck's out there, you know, it's in the yard that we rent. So there's premises and all was already out there. So it was an easy switch to make. And she's happy enough to do the job, and she's very confident and she's very capable. So again, I just let her work away with the lorry. There's the work. When we started, I says, look, I'm very sorry, I've never had a lady driver before. How would you like me to communicate? And she was like, what do you mean? I says, well, some people like messages and be left alone. Some people like to be talked to. I don't know. It's all new to me. What would you like to do? She says, look, it's fine. Just whatever, WhatsApp me stuff. And there's times I mightn't even speak to her from one week to the next, and another day I could be on the phone 10 times in one day. But no, she's a very capable person, and it's a pleasure to have her working here, you know.
Excellent. So take it, she just does the tipping and loading in England, and then ships the stuff back over, and you then deliver it,
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. So again,
like that.
again, that in itself, just the shipping of the trailers compared to the running, even though you would go out on a Sunday night and back in on a Thursday or a Friday night, you know, depending on what you needed for your weekend breaks, that two sailings a week per unit, like even when you take the cost of having to rent the yard that you use out in England, it's still saving you £800 a month just from
Crikey.
Two sailings a week, one out, one in, you know. So yeah, there's a lot to be said for it as well. I can understand why a lot of big firms actually do it and have their bases out there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes more sense, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, yeah. Plus then you can run your, you know, people might want to hear, but you can run the card to the maximum. You're not having to run it within the 12-hour margin to meet a boat or to get on a boat. You can run a 15-hour that day to get a trailer to the boat, you know, and things like that. The flexibility of work that you can cover without having to make a boat, if that makes sense, as a runner.
Oh, definitely. Because the problem is because it's quite a short distance by sea, it really sort of messes things up, doesn't it, if you're on there. Whereas like if like the Harwich Hook boat, for argument's sake, if you're on there first, you can get a 9-hour break in on the boat before, you know, so without even having to split your break. So then if you do that, that works perfectly. But like with the Irish crossings, what is it? It's about three?
It depends on where you're going. If you're going Holly,
which route, isn't it?
Holyhead, Dublin, it's 3 or 4 hours. If you're going, we tend to use Liverpool, the Birkenhead, the Belfast boat, more so because, again, we're covering a lot more of the southern counties. The spread, you know, just saves you that extra bit of driving time, you know.
Yeah, especially like going up to Scotland to...
Yeah,
to swap over. It's a long old slog up there, isn't it?
It doesn't even work for us. And to be honest, the furthest north customer we do is Dumfries, and it actually makes more sense for me to ship the trailer into Heysham and run up around and come back down than it does to run away to Cairn Ryan and come back down to Dumfries, you know.
Right. No, fair enough.
Yeah. Again, everybody has their own way of going mad, and that way suits me best.
Yeah, well, that's it. You just do what works for you, don't you?
Other
things will suit other people, won't it? So
that's it.
This episode of Match Trucking Great Podcast is kindly sponsored by Cuda UK. Cuda offer one of the largest ranges of truck accessories in the UK and Europe, partnering with well-known brands such as Hadley, Ned King, Truck Chef, Strands, TomTom, Lightfix, and many more. Shop online at www.cudauk.limited.uk and use a discount code TRUCKINGGREAT for 10% off your next order. Thank you very much, Cuda, for your support. We really appreciate it. Yeah, it's been quite a sort of tough old few weeks. As we record this, the price of diesel is dropping. I mean, mine's dropping another 5p next week, but it's been really, really tough for small companies, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Like March was on the verge of putting my light out, and I had to reinvest some of my own money back into the business to keep it above water. And again, it's like I said, you know, on phone calls we've been having off the record, the costs, even though people have fuel surcharges and you had your rate up, it went up that fast, you could not physically keep up with the raise, you know. So we, again, when it come to some of the rates there, I just don't want a fuel surcharge on it. I had to take the time very quickly over them few weeks in March to go to the customers and negotiate. Look, we need, you know, people are going for 12, 15, 20% fuel surcharges. No, folks, I need the base rate up. I need the base rate up 8% and we'll go for a 12% fuel surcharge. So, you know, when the fuel comes down, I'm still 8% ahead, you know, because the cost of your tires aren't coming down, and that's all equated to price of oils and lubricants and stuff like that, your service, and, you know, all those things are way through the roof now. And you just can't manage it all within a fuel surcharge, I don't believe. But look, everybody's own way of going mad, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So with regards to the maintenance as well, you obviously do as much as you can in-house to keep the costs down.
Yeah. So again, like I say, way back at the start, I knew where I was wanting to go. So sometimes this job isn't always about what you can make. It's about what you can save. So again, there's days there, like even 2 weeks ago, we're very glad that Ivor's back, and Ivor's very handy guy as well. And like I've been offered jobs, and it wasn't worth my while sending it out. So me and Ivor was able to do a lot of inspections, a lot of maintenance and stuff that day. And I saved more than I would make by sending him out. So between, even if I'm doing it on my own, but again, you have to be wary of some jobs. Like if I was to do a clutch, by the time I strip it out, do it, go and get the parts, bring it back, and then the fact I don't have the computer to recalibrate it, I'm into 2 days. Whereas you could take that to a guy up the road here, a private guy who specializes in Volvos, Robbie and Davy Bird, they could have that knocked out in 6 hours. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes it's about time over cost.
Yeah, absolutely. For something like that, yeah, it's just not worth bothering with, is it?
No, but again, for your general maintenance, you're on to, your wear and tear items, your brakes and failures and, wiring and stuff like that would do 90, well, 85 to 90% of that in-house. But again, doesn't pay for me to invest in a brake tester, so we'll go to another company, we get our brakes tested and that, things done that way and stuff. It can't, especially when you're looking at it anywhere from £70 an hour to 100 and something pound an hour for depending on the garage you go to. I'm well enough paid for doing 7 hours in the shed. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't going to make that money that day if I went out in the truck. Plus, I'd have incurred the cost of diesel. So, people think I'm mad. I'd rather sit in the house and burn my diesel wisely than run out just to be busy. So, and Ivor sometimes he looks at me and he goes, "Like, is there nothing you want me to do?" I says, "Ivor, you're making me money by not wasting my diesel. Sit there." And there's days there too when Gemma, if she, again, I'm a believer in you do your job. I worked at companies too over the years where the more you done, the more you got to do. But I'm just like, there's your work, Gemma, and she'll maybe be finishing a Thursday night. And I'm a believer in that's a benefit for you. Oh, she says, "What do you want me to do on Friday?" I says, "I'm going to pay you to sit in your house because there's no point in you running up to Birkenhead to lift the trailer because I haven't got your other one shipped out. It won't be there to Saturday evening ready for you on Monday morning. So take the benefit. You're getting paid for your day off. Have your day off. This is the part of the job that suits you. The days that I need you to push on, that's the part of the job that suits me. So it's swings and roundabouts, but there's a lot of companies out there that don't believe in giving the driver any benefits. So that's not the way I work. And again, I'm hoping that that's the very reason maybe I ever come back after all these years,
Well, it works two ways, doesn't it? Because you're going to be more motivated as a driver to get your work done, to potentially have a day off, and you're going to be grateful for that day off, and so you're going to be willing to do that extra bit for someone who appreciates what you've been doing.
No, and that's it. I the thing about doing all those jobs over the years wasn't just that I was getting experience about what I was doing. It was I was watching people be bosses. I was learning to be a boss, and I was learning the things that I didn't like as much as the things I did. And you were like, "I've reacted this way because he's been an absolute to me," whereas I don't want a driver to be that way. Over the years, I was, very driven, and I thought I was going to have X, Y, and Z, and I wanted the best of this, that, and the other. But I was like, you know what? I just want to enjoy the job. I want other people to enjoy the job. I want people to want to go to work on a Monday. So we all talk about this being a lifestyle. Well, let's make it an enjoyable lifestyle, not a miserable one.
Absolutely.
So, I just leave Gemma to do her thing, and the same with Ivor, and he'll ring you at the end of the day. "Oh, that's me read up. Oh, okay, right, here's tomorrow's. Oh, I'll maybe nip down and tie that load down this evening, and I'll get read up early tomorrow." That's fine. Like on Thursday past there, Ivor called in on the way up, where we do for a couple of companies in Molusk, and he passes them going home. And he pulled in, tied his load all down, left early Friday morning. He was read up for dinner time, and he still gets a full day's pay. And I'm like, "Yeah, and there you go. You have your Friday off. You have your long weekend. You're not starting to 7:30 on Monday morning. Enjoy life. This is what
Yeah,
it's about."
exactly.
And he, the place he come back to me from, he had to work every Saturday, and he goes, he says, "I'm literally £30 down, and I don't have to work Saturdays. I have Friday afternoons off if I work hard." And I'm saying that if you do an extra bit during the week, ever, I'll give you another £50. Do you know what I mean? I want to enjoy the job, and that's more what it's about for me now.
Yeah, too right. So speaking of enjoying it, with regards to like the maintenance and things like that, do you actually enjoy getting in the shed and getting stuck in, or do you just see it as a sort of necessary evil just to keep your costs down?
No, I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it because, again, those are those are little skills that not everybody has. Now, as the man says, what I learned when I served my time and what I can do now isn't enough to, say, open up as a workshop for outside yeah. work, but it's like I can do what I need to do to keep me on the road. And I enjoy those days because it's not just that. It's like in the past, like some of my trailers and all would be older trailers, and they do get a bit of a hammering with all the shipping we do, and that's just part of the job. But I actually got pulled in by the Vosa at Buckley at the top of the 55, and it was an old trailer, and the guy pulled me in, and he actually said to me, he says, that's a lovely, I had the black lorry at the time, he says, that's a lovely looking lorry. He says, shame about the trailer. I says, ah, it looks shite, doesn't it? And but that was all right. He come out of the wee building again, and he said the exact same things to me. And I said, sure, do you want to just send the mechanic out? And I wasn't being cocky. I wasn't being confident because, yes, a lot of the times when you get pulled in, it's all about your attitude as much as theirs.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
And the wee mechanic guy come over to me, and I had absolutely everything on the phone, all the brake tests, the MOTs, the inspection sheets, the whole heap. Because there is sometimes, like I say, there's other outside providers that would do a bit of maintenance for me because I couldn't physically do it all myself.
Yeah.
So I had it all on the phone. I showed it to the mechanic and he says, you can't agree with me, but he just pulled me in because he didn't like the look of this. But I says, there's it there. It was literally on the MOT the Wednesday before. I says, everything's legit. And he says, look, I have to crawl in underneath this, mate, and be seen to be doing my job. I says, that's fine. That's what you're here for. And he crawled in. And as he went through every axle, I was calling out to him, new slack adjuster, two new brake chambers, two cam bar bushings. It has a new pin here. And he come out the front end of the trailer on his wee board and he went, you know your trailer? And I goes, I have to know every single piece of this equipment. So it helps me understand it. And again, when you know you're getting pulled, like I have no issue with any of the trailers I send out there and I just leave it to Gemma and she's been pulled many a time and we've never had an issue. So, you know, it just gives me a better understanding of my equipment and enjoy knowing, having that wee bit of knowledge and confidence in what we have. So,
absolutely. Because it does, the DVSA do seem to pull more trucks from the north and the south of Ireland. I think in not so much my experience, but what I've seen, you know, just in passing and when I've been pulled in by them as well. But then I guess a lot of it goes back to some of the old reputations from back in the day.
Yeah, that's the truth. And if you looked at my old version ones, my very first truck was registered in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
And that I got pulled, you know, when I was doing north-south, it wasn't really an issue. But when I started to do the English work, I was getting pulled in that lorry twice a week, every week.
Yeah.
And the other lorries were English Rage. And if any of the guys went out, and I'm sorry that this might come across as, you know, the stereotypical thing, but they weren't getting pulled. So if you notice, every lorry I have since then either has a kind of a personal Rage or it's got an English Rage.
Right.
And we don't get as much hassle, and that's the truth.
Yeah, yeah. It's just an observation, isn't it?
It's just my experience. Just
the way things have been, haven't they? So,
yeah.
And another thing, with regards to like the recent events as well, there's been quite a few protests in Ireland, haven't there, with the cost of fuel.
Yeah.
Did you get involved yourself?
I did. I'll be honest, I went down. I knew quite a few guys in Southern Ireland, and although it's not within my jurisdiction, I did. I went down the road and I come across the first one in Dundalk, and I stopped with the guys and I stayed there with them, you know, for 24 hours, give them a bit of support. Because you look, everybody talks, like I say, this job is a lifestyle. You know, I talk about camaraderie within the job. And, you know, there are people that's still in this job. It's a different jurisdiction, but transport is not just a national thing. It's an international thing. And we all need to stick together. So, you know, I go down and show them a bit of support and say, look, lads, I know this technically doesn't affect me, but if it affects you, it affects us all. You know, and the same then, and there was a protest in Northern Ireland. And to be honest, I got held up that day and I went to join the one at Sprucefield, but it was kind of over before I got there. So, no, the police had all the tractors and stuff pulled in. I understand what people are saying, that it will or it won't have any kind of effect. But there comes a point in every man's life where he has to stand for the things he believes. And, you know, whether or not you agree with the way people make a stand, that's another thing. But there comes a point where people are passionate about those things and they're just right, I've had enough. And if this is how I feel, I need to get my point across or I need my voice to be heard. Sometimes this is what happens, you know. So anybody that does get involved in it, fair enough, I support you. Anybody that chooses not to, I'm not going to ridicule you for it. We all have our choices to make, and that's the way life goes.
Yeah, that's it. Absolutely. Because it does sort of raise an interesting point, because obviously non-truck driving and sort of non-driving people can take quite a different view on it, can't they? Because I was chatting to a Dutch friend of mine just the other day, because Extinction Rebellion blocked, I think, the A12 at Utrecht in the Netherlands and caused absolute chaos. And it's... he's sort of asking my opinion. It's like, well, you know, I think it's good that people do get out and try and raise their point, you know, but sometimes just affecting normal people at the same time can be a bit counterproductive, because you just don't get the right people on your side, do you?
Yeah, 100%. And say even the likes of the demonstration that there were sort of, again, over here, it was kind of organized a bit better in Southern Ireland. Up in the north here, it was kind of just a post somebody put on Facebook, because nobody wanted to ever admit taking responsibility for organizing it. And
it was
kind of poorly put on, but people still turned up. You know, there was a bit more of a demonstration or display up at Ballygolly at the roundabout there. But again, you know, ultimately everybody needs to speak, but there comes a point where people just will not listen to you. And you find the case too in every form of discussion or debate, sometimes the people don't like the person saying it. It's not what's being said. And I find that a lot of the time, if you were to write it down and say, read it, they might have a different outlook on it, but I don't like it. I don't like what he's saying because I don't like him.
Yes.
You know, unfortunately, that's a lot. But yes, you know, you have to be very mindful of how you go about it. Like, again, the demonstration at Sprucefield, it was just like a rolling demonstration. It wasn't a complete roadblock from what I heard. Again, I didn't get there in time to take part. But you have to be very mindful that just around the corner is a hospital. Just around the corner from that is the air ambulance, you know, and it's a bit hypocritical to stop anyone from availing of those services when, as a whole, the haulage industry has done great things to provide kind of funding and sponsorship and money raising events for the likes of the air ambulance, you know. So you want to make a point, but ultimately you will win more favor by being nice to people than you ever will by being mean, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. I mean, speaking of it's a bit of a tangent from sponsorship as such, but you're also quite involved with the Drifter Style show, are you not?
Well, to be honest, yeah, that's that. It was David Henning. That the show has always been David's baby, and he started this polishing company, and he decided he would do this, and he'd rung around a few of the friends, and you know, asked for a bit of help and support, and I was absolutely glad to take part. It's not just me. There's William Hearn, who's actually would be sort of head judge, as I would call it. There's William.
Yeah.
There's Richard Green. There's myself and Gordy Spence. And we just, you know, to be fair to David, he does 99.99% of it himself, and we just turn up and do what we're asked, you know. So again, judging can be the tough part, because you're always hated on. But look here, everybody's your own idea what's right, and you just try and do things as right as I see them. But again, I have my way of going mad. Willie's his way of going mad, Ricky and Gordy. So between us all on a points-based system, you end up getting a good, we believe a good average. So yeah, no, that's been very much David's idea. And I love to see that kind of a show happening here. And I'm happy to support David in any way I can to make that happen, you know.
No, absolutely. I don't know how anyone can judge at that show, because it's just, the standard of cleaning there is just mind-blowing. It really is.
It's so difficult, because again, the first year or so, a couple of friends, the thing about it is we kind of know everybody, or 99% of the people that's going, and he's like, oh, you set the standard really high. And I was like, well, we didn't do anything. We started at the first truck, and that guy had his cab polished and his wheels polished, and you move, you know, that's the standard. And you go to the next one, and he has his tanks and his wheels and his exhaust done, so that's the new standard. But the time you get to the end of it, it's completely on another level. And you've nobody to blame but the competitors. We're just judging their efforts, you know. And it's very hard because, again, it never was to be about the amount of money that anyone spent. You
No.
know, I believe it was, you know, David's like, he's a clean freak and that's what his business is. And it was just about being clean, you know. And in my head, it was more, well, not everybody has a massive budget, but everybody can afford a bag of rags, a bit of quick detailer, and some elbow grease, you know.
Yes. Yeah,
So
yeah.
if it was just down to being clean, well, then that suits everyone's budget. That comes back more to effort than budget, you
Yeah.
know. And it is amazing to see some of the fantastic trucks and the lengths people go to. It's really good. And
Oh, yeah.
personally, for me, the truck shows have always been about the people. Like
Yeah.
I've said to you before, you would attend Swedfest. That is my most favorite show. And I have never won a washer at it, but I love it. I love
Yeah.
Rob and Michelle and all the guys down there that put that show on. It is fantastic. For me, that's what a show's about, if
Yeah.
that makes sense. And again,
Yeah.
it's all for me, it's all about meeting the people and helping the people. And you know, I've seen over the shows going to different ones myself and competing against other guys. Well, never once were, you know, I went to Jay Tyler and I was running out of polish and he gave me polish. He beat me that year, but he still gave me Landis some polish. You know,
Yeah.
Mick Sorter has beat me on many occasions, but Mick would come over, Chris, lend me your ladders. Yeah, no problem, Mick, work away. Because it's just,
Yeah.
to me, it's fun. It's fun,
Exactly.
you know.
Yeah, that's the whole point of it, isn't it? And yeah, I mean, I did my first ever weekend at Swedfest last year because I've just never got around to actually taking a truck there, and it was just, like I say, such a great time. It's so much fun chatting with people and whatnot. It was absolutely blind, and I'll definitely be back this year for the weekend in a truck. It's
Yeah,
just,
hopefully
yeah,
I'll be there. I
it's.
wasn't there last year because we had another function, and unfortunately that function happens to fall. They always do it the same weekend. So the year before we went to the show, last year we went to the function, this year we'll go to the show again. And, you
Yeah.
know, but I do love the show. I love the attitude of it. I love the laid back. I love the venue and I love the food. I love the food. So,
Yeah.
you know, it's great. It's just a great wee show. I love it.
I think it says a lot about the two shows, Swedfest and Drifterstyle, the fact that like you'll travel from Northern Ireland to rural Suffolk for a show, and people, a lot of Irish and Dutch whatnot go to Swedfest, and also Drifterstyle. There was what, three from two or three from Sweden, I
So
think.
Tobias had come over. There was the year before, Carmen and Sasha Heinrichs had come over from Germany and stuff. But to be fair to your man Tobias, again, I'd seen the truck at other shows, but it took that show for us to end up becoming great friends, you know, and that's more, like I say, that's what the show's about for me, meeting like-minded people, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, those two are, well, I'm looking forward to all the shows this year that I can get to. So I think it's going to be a great year. As long as the diesel prices aren't too horrendous and people can afford to actually go to them, of course.
To be fair, luckily for us, a lot of the shows over the years, we tend to get some kind of a delivery near to them. Like, to be
Yeah.
fair to the one that Swedfest, we used to actually literally tip in Brundish, which is around the corner.
Yeah. I know it very well, Brundish.
So we used to tip there, but unfortunately the elderly gentleman that would tip there now, he's passed away 2 years ago, so we don't go there. So we have to maybe run from Chelmsford or something up to it, you know, because again, that's a walk in
Yeah.
the park. It's not miles and miles empty driving, you
Yeah.
know.
Yeah, absolutely. So what does the future hold for Chris and Bradford Transport then? Just no big plans of expansion or anything like that?
No, so
No.
when we moved, to be honest, no, when we moved back to Northern Ireland, we got ourselves a nice wee house in the country. It was like a farm or a small holding, and when it was auctioned off, the two farmers either side of us bought most of the land to either side of us. We ended up with the house, the yard, the outbuildings, and a wee field or two across the road. So, like I say, that's why I had to wait till this morning to record with you. Had the wee girl away at her horse riding lesson, so I just
Yeah.
want nice tidy wee yard, which is what we're doing at the minute. We're doing a bit of building and renovating at the house, tidying up the grounds, and I just want a nice wee bit of equipment. Happy to enjoy the job, and that's it for me. I want to get, like I say, I just want to keep enjoying the job. So for me,
Yeah.
at a happy level, that's three or four trucks. You know, we end up now, It still involves colossal hours in relation to the paperwork side of things because of all the nonsense we have to deal with because of Brexit.
Yeah.
It's not, in fairness, it's not hard, but people make it hard to justify their jobs. So I'm running around here with offices and files full of paperwork that I really don't need, but I still have to scan them, email them, photocopy them, attach them to invoice. So yeah, I just want to get back to enjoying the job and stay there. So for me, that the happy medium is 3-4 trucks, and I'm happy with that.
Excellent. And get and restore the FM and the Magnum.
Yeah, that's it. So where Crystal has her ideas of what way she wants the Magnum done, and I'm actually looking forward to seeing that. That was, for me, I used to take the truck site and do the TikTok videos and do all that other stuff. I don't really do it much anymore, but the idea was if we could have got the Renault, the high T, to be a bit more comfortable, we had a whole paint scheme and we were going to do it with the high T, and then it could have been a truck out of drive every day and justify it that way. But we just couldn't get that happy medium of comfort, you know, and an overall view, I like the truck. We just couldn't, you know, I'm not slating the salesman, but if I maybe had a different salesman who's willing to talk to me, everybody has their own idea of how they want a truck dialed in. So yeah. I want this set up this way, that. And when I went back to salesman with that, it just, the conversation didn't go too well. So we just left it. And I was like, I'm very odd in a way that I buy something new on a birthday. So I actually took the high tea out on demonstration the week of her birthday. And I was hoping that it would have went well and I could have sent Crystal an email, congratulations, bought you a truck on your birthday. But it just didn't. So anyway, we come back and we've seen a Renault Magnum. A friend of mine had it, and it was just sitting at the back of the farm, and we got it at the right money. So I lent Michael Taylor's low loader, and we went and recovered it and brought back to the yard. So yeah,
lovely.
Again, that'll be something that me and Crystal can do, you know, on Saturday evenings. We genuinely, for us, people want to, we enjoy going out too and doing things, but for us, a Chinese over the chassis sitting in the workshop on a Saturday night, that's my kind of Saturday night, you know, so that's what we do.
It sounds ideal, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty laid back and chilled, a couple of ciders, and away you go.
Excellent. Yeah, just before we go, have you ever been tempted away from Volvo for your day-to-day trucks, or have you just always been a Volvo man?
I've always been a Volvo man, if I'm honest, but I have been looking a lot lately. I've been a little frustrated with a few things. None of them, you know, overall, the truck, it has been grand. I think I've just been in the same tin box now for 9-10 years. I'm ready for something fresh. I'm hoping Volvo's coming with something fresh sooner rather than later. But I have took a few trucks out on demonstration. And to be honest, it's always about the numbers too.
And yes, very much so.
Gemma has been very interested in the Scania. I've literally never driven one. I tried to buy one in the past. That ended up a bad story. But maybe for another day. But no, if I'm honest, I had an MAN out. Now, the RTX just took place over here at the Icon Center. It's the first time it's been over. And the local MAN dealer, RK Trucks, now has a demo with front air. So I'm looking forward to getting the drive in that. If I'm honest, I would have no objections to an MAN.
Yeah.
I like that now. And again, the Renault, if we could got it chat to the right man, there might already have been one in the yard, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
So I keep coming back to the level of service I get from the guys, Denison's over here.
Yeah.
And it's, man, it is hard to whack. Put it like this, it's pure and simply for the people. If Denison sold Ivecos, I would buy Ivecos, because those guys can keep it on the road.
Right.
You know,
and that's what counts, isn't it?
The level of service they give me, I would find it hard to get that relationship with anyone else straight away.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But that's took years to build up. You have to make a start at some point. And I did run around premium in the past, and I got very good service out of that. The guys up at, well, it was Coulter's, it's now Diamond Trucks over here, they did give me good service, which is why I kind of lean towards hopefully having a Renault that worked out for us again. But yeah, I'd have no objection. But again, Denison's are, for me, first class, and I find it hard to walk past the people there's been times I've struggled with the brand, but the people have always backed it up, and that's the main thing for me, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Absolutely. Right, well, I think I've taken enough of your Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
Days off are quite precious, but...
Sorry, it just took so long to get this.
Yeah, these things happen as transport, isn't it?
So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But what we'll do is we'll perhaps try and record again sort of later in the year, just before Drifter Style happens, and have a catch-up.
Absolutely, Matt. No problem at all. Anytime, just give us a shout.
Brilliant. Lovely. Well, thank you very much for your time, Chris, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You too. Have a nice weekend. Cheers.
Lovely job. Bye-bye. Cheers, mate. Ta-da.
Bye. Bye-bye.